name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Please be seated. We will have that page removed from all the St. Francis hymnals. Something you probably already knew about Elizabeth and I. We're both first children. I've read the studies. I know you're not supposed to pigeonhole people. You're not supposed to put people into certain categories. Birth order isn't everything. This is all true. But that being said, firstborns have this innate desire to please authority. It gets ridiculous at times. We tend to greatly long for achievement and reward first out of the womb, and we want that blue ribbon every time. Well, we know Peter had a brother. He had a brother, Andrew, also an apostle. We actually don't know which one was the oldest. But Peter's sometimes obnoxious love for authority, he certainly makes a strong case that it's him. For starters, there's the multiple kiss-up moves to Jesus throughout the gospel accounts. Peter's desire, however, to please authority, it's not limited to our Lord. He's happy to please anyone that's in charge at the moment. If somebody's in charge, Peter's deep desire is to make them happy. We saw this tragically on Palm Sunday and Good Friday 2 weeks ago when we read the Passion narrative. We read of the sham trial, of the climb to Calvary, of the death of Jesus. We also read, though, of Peter's famous three denials. Three times during Jesus' trial and execution, Peter was asked if he was one of the Lord's followers, looking to please the authority of the moment. That is, looking to please those who are exercising authority over Jesus. Peter denies the Lord. He pleases the authority of Pilate and of the Pharisees and those in power who are leading the execution. In short, Peter sought to please the authority of men. We fast forward a couple of months. In our reading from the Acts of the Apostles this morning, we see a shift in who Peter thinks is in charge. No longer is Peter merely obeying the authority of the moment. Rather, he has found a greater authority than the petty despots of government. We must obey God rather than man, he says. Peter, to be fair, he's got that firstborn thing going on. He's still quite into pleasing authority. But he seems to know of a new authority, one actually worthy of his obedience. He's able to reject the authority of the moment for the sake of the divine authority of him who raised Jesus from the dead. I can't help but wonder, but where did this transition come from? How did Peter go from a people pleaser for any authority of the moment to someone who can look that authority squarely in the face and say no? And then not only say no, but say, in fact, there is a greater authority than you. I am seeking to serve the God of our ancestors who raised up Jesus from the dead, that same Jesus whom you killed by hanging on a tree. To pick up from last week, Jesus was raised from the dead, and for Peter, everything changed. Jesus was raised from the dead, and this meant that a new, greater authority had become obvious to Peter. Jesus and the Father, whom Jesus testified and who raised him from the dead, that is to say, the triune God, God is now the authority for Peter. Everything changed on Easter morning. Of course, though, to look at Peter's newfound allegiance and to say everything changed seems like a bit of a stretch. God has been the ultimate authority since the days of Eden. Peter's claim to the powers this day, it's the same claim that Moses made to Pharaoh. It's the same claim that Elijah made to Ahab and Jezebel. It's the same claim that John the Baptist made to Herod. So what really changed? Peter changed. Sure, it took the resurrection of a crucified Lord to do it, but Peter has finally learned. After all of his obnoxiousness throughout the Gospels, Peter has finally learned not to just please the authority of the moment. not just to be out looking for the approval of whoever's temporarily in charge. Peter has become someone who relies on God's authority instead of man's. The authority hasn't changed since the days of Moses. God is still the only authority ultimately worthy of our complete obedience, the only authority that trumps all others. And yet we are so like Peter sometimes. That is, we're so like the old Peter. And we lack the backbone or the conviction or simply the knowledge and the belief to stand up to those who think they are in power. That is to say, we lack the confidence to know that whoever has power on this earth reports to the same authority we do. And our allegiance is owed to only one. Where in our life are we backing down? Where are we accepting the word of the rulers and authorities of this day when we ought to be discerning what is the will of the only one who truly rules and truly deserves our complete obedience? In the resurrection, Peter changed. Peter changed because he was now only willing to ultimately obey God. Question for us is, what's it going to take for us to have the same change? The Apostle Thomas, he gets a bad rap in this morning's story. Thomas, he doubted the resurrection, demanding proof of the marks of the nails and the spear in our Lord's hands and in his feet and in his side. He wanted to touch them and know that Jesus was risen from the dead. Thomas, to his defense, he does turn from villain to hero fairly quickly. He's the first one to ever come up with the formulation, "My Lord and my God." He sees and he touches and he knows. But we are all among those whom the gospel lesson this morning says are more blessed, for we have to believe in a method more difficult than Thomas's. We don't get to touch the Lord's wounds. Rather, for us to change like Thomas did, for us to change like Peter did, we have to take it on faith. But we're in good company when we do so. Not only is the authority which Peter relies on the authority which we ought to rely on, not only is that the same authority cited by Moses, but it's the same authority cited by the Christians when they were thrown to the lions in the first century. It's the same authority cited by Ambrose, a bishop in the second century, who took on those who persecuted his people. It's the same authority cited by Mother Teresa as she walked among those who were never supposed to be touched, the poorest people on the planet. It's the same authority cited by the single mom who reads the Bible story to her kids each night while trying to provide for the four of them on a lousy paycheck. Peter says he is a witness to the God who raised Jesus from the dead, and the same God who offers us resurrection from the deadness of our lives. We don't have to touch the wounds in Jesus to know we would rather obey the one who healed them than the pretend authority who put them there. Pleasing authority, it's not a bad thing. But Peter's right. Seeing the resurrection, everything changed. We cannot obey a human authority, ultimately, because we must let our total allegiance be to the authority of him who raised Jesus from the dead. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.